Hey, I am Derek, better known as Mr. Al Sweets, and you are listening to The Dope Side Show with Side Stuff with Steph, and she's amazing. Don't take my word for it. Actually, you should. Take my word for it. Believe it, because it's true. It's law.
Hello, welcome to The Dope Science Show with Stephanie Lowe, a.k.a. Science Stuff with Steph. Thank you for your ears and minds. I hope that the show sparks new ideas, new opportunities, and conversations. I want us to learn and grow. We are all curious, innovative, and experimental in our daily lives. We are all dope scientists. Hello, thank you guys for listening to the show. This is Stephanie, a.k.a. Science Stuff with Steph, and I just wanted to take a moment out to send love and positive energy to the people who are suffering in Houston, the people who are suffering in Sierra Leone with flooding and mudslides. At the end of the show, I'll include some links and information on how you can donate and make a difference towards helping people who are in need. I also wanted to say thank you, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. The show means everything to me at this point in my life. It's really given me passion and a drive to be a positive influence and also to interact with my fellow community, you know, locally and online. And I just passed my 1-year anniversary of launching the show. And I wanted to say thank you. Thank you guys so much for your continued support. So with that being said, let's get into today's show. Today's show features Aaron Shepherd. Aaron is currently working towards his master's in electrical engineering at Clemson University. As a student, Aaron conducts NASA-funded research on robots modeled after elephant trunks and octopus arms. That's pretty cool. I think they call it tentacle robotics. His work focuses on finding novel ways to use those robots to help astronauts accomplish various tasks in outer space. Aaron has an awesome goal that drives his passion for science. He wants to be the first African American to walk on Mars. That's right, folks. Mars. Which is super cool because how many people do you know who want to go to Mars and they are actively pursuing that goal? Well, now you guys know, Aaron Shepherd. I met Aaron on Twitter when he was competing in the 2017 Student Astronaut Contest, sponsored by Exploration Station. The show was great because I learned so much. Questions raised? Did we really make it to the moon? What is the ISS, the International Space Station? How are robots used in space now? And how does one become an astronaut? I hope you guys really enjoy the show. It's very informative, very personal, and it's really cool to meet someone who's at the beginning of what will be an amazing career. So let me your comments, your suggestions. And I also wanted to say, because you guys know I ramble, I'm off script. I also wanted to say thank you guys for listening and supporting me. I know it's been a work in progress. And I love that you guys have been here to cheer me on and contribute to the show. And I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So let's start the show.
Hello, hello, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Dope Science Show. I have a brilliant gentleman on the show today. His name is Aaron Shepherd. He reached out to me on Twitter mentioning that he wanted to talk about traveling to Mars because he's an aspiring astronaut and graduate student. Hi, Aaron. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Hi, yes, thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, yes, I was so excited because, like you mentioned, that you were you wanted to talk about traveling to Mars, that you want to be an astronaut, and I was just super flattered that I came up even in your feed and you wanted to be on the show. And I definitely would love to hear, you know, your what excites you about space travel, why you want to be an astronaut, and just a little bit more about, like, how did you get here? Can you give us a little bio on who you are and what you do?
Okay, so as you mentioned, my name is Aaron Shepherd. I'm a graduate student. I'm studying electrical engineering. I have always been obsessed with space for as long as I can remember. Actually, I just went back to my parents' house not too long ago, and I found a picture that I drew when I was 6 years old, and it had like the moon and a space shuttle and rocket ships, and the premise of the picture was, where do you want to work when you grow up? And so I've always had this passion for space, and I always just look up to the stars, and I just have the strongest desire to want to go there. And so I decided to study electrical engineering and work on developing the technology that would get us to space. And hopefully in the process, I can actually get selected to be an astronaut and then get to space myself.
Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing that you had that idea and that you actually saw it through. Most people have dreams like, I want to do this, when they're 5, 6, 7, and then somewhere along the way, the first challenge discourages them. So pretty cool. Was it because you never thought of doing anything else that, you know, like, this became your obsession?
Actually, no. There was a time where I did think of doing something else. When I started undergrad, it was during the 2008 recession. And so I really became concerned about job security, and it was more of, I know I want to follow my dreams, but at the same time, I need to be practical and think about something that would actually get me employed. And so I did my undergrad. I majored in a subject that I really wasn't passionate about. I was good at it, but I just didn't have the passion for it. And so I do my undergrad. I graduate. I get this great job. I'm working in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm making money. And then there was just a time where I just said, you know what? This is not what I'm here for. This is not what I want to do with my life, and this is not what I was built to do with my life. And so I made the very challenging decision to return to school and study a subject that I'm passionate about. I've always been that kid to take things apart and put them back together again. I've always been really interested in computers and technology. And that's how I kind of landed into electrical engineering. And then within electrical engineering, I just have always thought robotics was the coolest thing ever. You're designing this machine and you're bringing it to life, and it's just so cool. And I would sit there and I would just study robots and read about everything that makes them up. I would look at their programs, look at their designs. And so I got really lucky, and I got to school and I found a group doing robotics. And interestingly enough, one of the projects that the lab that I work in does is on space robots. So I'm actually on a team designing a robot for NASA. It's NASA funded, and we are hoping that one day we can actually use it in space to accomplish some tasks.
That's amazing. What school do you attend right now?
I am at Clemson University. You may know it, especially if you follow college football, where it was kind of a big deal.
That's funny. And what's your team called? Do you guys have a name?
It's actually an academic lab within the electrical engineering department. I work under a professor. His name is Dr. Ian Walker, and his specialty is continuum robotics, which basically they're robots that are modeled after tentacles and trunks. And they have all these really interesting properties, and you can use them in a whole bunch of different applications, medical, military, space. And so So I'm actually learning to design these robots that, instead of just being able to bend on one point or another, they can bend at any point along the limb, just, and they can wrap around objects and kind of snake their way through. It's really cool.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I was just trying to picture that, and like all these tentacles and, you know, all the little tasks they would do. And then also I thought of, like, if, you know, space, you need special, like, materials, right, in space. And I was thinking of, like, what about, are you, this is, I'm just rambling because I do that. I was thinking, do you guys also work or incorporate any, like, nano machines or anything like that? It's just a random question.
Like nano as in really, really small?
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes I wonder if it's easier for a machine or a robot to, more durability in space if it was smaller versus big. So that's what I was just randomly thinking of, like, science fiction ideas of, like, tentacles and then the you know, going into smaller pieces and then coming back together, kind of, you know what I mean?
That's not something that we're working on in particular, but that is actually something interesting, and I wouldn't mind looking into that, because that actually might not be a bad idea. Now, what we do work on for space applications, for example, is that since these robots are capable of bending and wrapping, you can use them to grip objects, especially as they're floating around in microgravity or even in zero G, depending on where you are. And you don't need to put anything special on them to get them to grasp objects. They just have to be long enough to wrap around. A current issue that we're facing, or that the space industry is facing, is I'm sure you've heard of space junk, where you have all these dead satellites and this debris that's floating in our atmosphere that could become a real problem for those who are aboard the ISS or trying to leave. But, and you remember gravity, where basically all that space junk came in and caused a whole bunch of issues. Well, if you have a robot that is capable of grasping objects without the need for a specific attachment, that makes it really valuable, because at that point you can just go in, wrap around it and pull it somewhere, capture it, or you can alter its orbital path and send it down into the atmosphere to burn up. So that's one of the applications that I'm working on specifically, and that's one of the ones that I just think is so interesting and cool and could actually be really beneficial to the space community.
Right. Especially, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because with technology, there's always, you know, we build technology often faster than we come up with, like, sustainable technology. And I wonder if that's because we often engineer for the job versus, you know, a long-term sustainable aspect of it. So that's why we have all this, like, space junk. And it's good to think or know that you guys are, there are people out there who are working on cleaning it up, you know, like, we don't want to pollute everything, you know,
right,
because
right.
It's like, why? You know, that's awesome. That's really good. And also, is it, you can use it for so many things, like building, maybe even farming. Like, if you are able to, if we're ever to, like grow crops in Mars or some other, like, space station, then you can have your drone robotics, you know, like, farming. How agile are the robots? Like,
They are as agile as you want them to be, depending on kind of what you attach them to. If you you can attach them to kind of the older version of the Continuum robot that kind of got the lab started way back in the day, it was attached to kind of like this tank bottom, so it could roll around and you could control it and it could wrap around objects and go.
Yeah.
And I know that we have, Exactly. Kind of like, yeah, like that old quintessential
Rosie.
robot that you see from,
Yeah.
And, but you can also attach them to spaceships. You could even put one on the ISS. Like, I think for this field, it would be a dream come true if we could have something that's comparable to the Canada arm, which is the current robot on the ISS, but if it were Continuum, so it's just a long tentacle instead of that anthropomorphic kind of standard robotic arm with the joints and where it can only bend at those certain points. But
That makes. Go ahead.
I'll go on.
No,
I was
I was
gonna say,
saying,
like,
go
oh,
ahead.
yeah, you can tell I'm new at this still.
No, just go ahead because we can't see each other. So I often will have to, like, okay, you talk. No, you talk.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things that makes me excited about developing technology for space exploration is that oftentimes there are so many applications that come back down on Earth. The biggest one for Continuum robots right now that I think is kind of the most prevalent is kind of when you see the robotic surgery, so all the laparoscopes and having to. You're having this robot assisting you with surgery, so it's got to be capable of moving in some very tight spaces. And so giving it the ability to kind of bend and snake allows you to go into cavities and you trace vessels and muscles, and really it could really help surgeons out in the operation room. So it I'm just really excited to see all these applications of this novel way to approach robotics.
It is really exciting, and I think in our everyday life we're going to see, I mean we already do, like, see more and more robotics, but I definitely, as you know, we'll see a lot more as far as everyday tasks and things that we would used to do, like the robots will assist us, which is great for especially if you're like old or if you have any sort of disability, you'd like to have an assistant. Like a robot
Yes.
assistant would be ideal,
Yeah,
that would be great.
actually, there is a project in my lab. I'm not on that project, but I've seen it where basically it's a robotic assistant. It's just that you sit in the chair and it's attached to the chair with you, and you can use it to pick up objects or move things around. So, yeah, there's things like that are already in development as we speak.
Definitely. And I wonder for some of the, especially for, you mentioned the debris, the cleanup, that made me think of, I know it has to be built differently, or like, how could we use the same technology to like clean up the sea? I know it's different
Oh.
pressures, the different constructions, but how comparable, I mean, I don't know. Sound, I don't care if questions sound dumb. How comparable is this, the type of technology that you use in space, would you be able to use any of that in the sea? I know the pressure is way different, but just tell me.
Oh, it's actually very comparable. I mean, this might sound a little off topic, but the word
Yeah.
astronaut literally means space sailor. And so a lot of the terminologies and the ideas of exploring space come from exploring the sea. Like you said, the only difference is really the pressure, but the technology and, like you said, having the ability to go and clean things up, yeah, that's very comparable. And actually, it's a great application for the work that we do in space here on planet Earth.
Yeah, that would be amazing. See, that's why we have to always fund NASA and science and exploring things because you have a goal, but that doesn't mean that one goal is the only application for the new technology, And
Oh,
I
yeah.
think it's super cool. You should tell the audience about the contest you recently were competing in. I've never heard of
Yes,
it,
so
so you were in it.
Yes, so it is called the Student Astronaut Contest. It is sponsored by Exploration Outer Space, which is a part of a TV series called Exploration Station. And the winner of this contest will, every year when they do it, they'll get to do some cool space-related activity. So last year they did one of those zero-G parabolic flights where you get to experience weightlessness. And this year, their theme is Mars. So the winner will have the opportunity to visit the, it's High Seas. It's in Hawaii. The acronym is High Seas. I can't recall it off the top of my head right now, but it's a Mars analog habitat in Hawaii where basically there are, they have a team there now and they are simulating what life would be like on the red planet. And so you would, the winner of the contest will go there and stay in the habitat for 24 hours. They get to spacesuit up and do a mock EVA where they'll put on the spacesuit and then leave the habitat to do the tasks that astronauts would do on Mars. And then all of this, of course, gets on TV. And actually, they are announcing the finalists sometime today. So I'm waiting on that.
Crossing my fingers. I hope you get in.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Hopefully I make the cut, and because it would just be such a phenomenal opportunity. It definitely would give me a leg up when I actually do apply to join an astronaut class and say, hey, I kind of already done this, so you need to hire me. Just saying.
Just saying. You guys need me. What is the criteria? Like, what is, when I was looking at the contest, I wasn't sure if it's like whoever got the most votes, or how are they determining who a finalist is?
They are looking at a whole bunch of things. They're looking at your responses to the questions that they ask. So why do we need to explore Mars? How will this jumpstart your career in the space industry? And why should you be the next student astronaut, I think? And then they're also judging it based off of your social media presence. So it could be, it's a combination of the number of views, the number of likes, shares, comments, et cetera, that your entry video receives. So for the last month or so, I've been really just pushing that video. I think everybody on my timeline is like, okay, Aaron, we get it. We know, like, share.
Yay.
Yeah. And
yeah,
so
I shared it as soon as I saw it.
Yes, and thank you so much. I really appreciate that. The best thing about all this, though, is because this isn't just, I just don't want this to be a, oh, you get to be on TV, hey, science is cool, yay, one-time thing.
Yeah.
Like, I want to make this my real life. And so just the exposure and the ability to go out and say, hey, I'm Aaron Shepherd, these are my dreams, and just having people listen and just sharing my story, it's really exciting because I feel like it's the start of something great. And I cannot wait to see where this journey takes me.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. I just met you, but I'm always like cheering on people who start a new journey and try something new and take a risk, because like you said, it's a journey and you don't know what the outcome is going to be, no matter what your goal is, you know? So positive expectations, you're in the right direction, definitely. What did you get your first degree in?
My first degree is actually in biochemistry.
Biochemistry. So you had a STEM background already. Because I was trying to think,
yeah.
I was like, how did you, I left school, and I'm going back to school. And one of the big breaks and things that stalled me going back to school is I didn't really know how to come back after leaving and starting a new, like, major, you know, a complete major. What would you say was the biggest help for you to be able to take on that journey?
The biggest help, honestly, it's in two parts. The first part is internal. It's just it took me a long time to really sit down and think about, okay, what do I love? What could I study no matter what the cost? what would keep me up at 4, 5, 6 in the morning sometimes. And so when I sat down and just looked at the parts that made me, I realized that I have always had this engineer inside of me who was ready to break out, and this tech geek inside of me who's always into computers and just interacting with technology. And so that's how I knew, okay, I need to go into electrical engineering and I need to do robotics. That's from the internal component. And then the external component is surrounding yourself with a team or a group or a community that's really encouraging you along the way. At Clemson, we have this organization called PEER, and it's actually PEER and WISE, and they are for getting minority and underrepresented students in STEM to graduate with their degrees. And so becoming a part of them and being in that office all the time and having faculty and your peers encouraging you, it really helps. Because it's really hard, especially when you have to start over again, but to have the internal motivation within and then the external motivation from your community, it makes it doable, and it makes you say, okay, I can really do this and I can do this well.
That's perfect. So basically, you can't do this as a loner. You need to reach out and ask for help and be willing to, like, accept help, basically.
Oh, yes. If you're following the MBA right now, you're definitely noticing that you can be the best at what you do, but you still need help.
Yeah. I think it's taken me a long time to accept that and move forward with that in all areas of my life, because some of us are introverts. so it's just like, it's an aversion a lot of times to reach out and get help. And so that's what I'm partaking. So I'm trying to ask people those type of questions and share it with the audience. You never know who's listening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What was that missing piece? If you could go, do you think we'll make it to Mars, like, in our lifetimes?
Oh, yes, we are. I think that, I just posted this to Reddit the other day, but I think we are one or two astronaut classes away from having that first human on Mars.
And what does that mean?
So in 2 days, NASA will announce the new class of astronauts that they applied. The application opened up in 2015, and so they're just now announcing it. And so every couple of years, NASA will put out applications for a new class of astronauts. It's like joining, it's like doing a fraternity or going to professional school or something like that. And so my thing is, I think we are one or two classes away from that mission that will take us to Mars.
Huh. So that means within, like, what, 10 years?
I would probably say within the mid-2030s to the early 2040s. So probably 20, 25 years.
Okay, so 20, 25 years. Okay, I'm, like, doing math. Like, how old am I? Okay. That's pretty cool. And when you go, go ahead.
Oh, no, go on.
And is this the type of journey that you can go and actually return, or is this once you go, that's it? Like, this is your new life and you're the new colony?
I'm hoping that it's the former and not the latter. I feel like it'll be one of those, you will go and come back. You'll probably be gone for a few years, though, seeing as it will take you 6 months or so just to even get there. And
only 6 months?
It's only 6 months. That's when the two planets, I think, are at their closest, or it could be even shorter than that. But I think the average travel time is 6 to 8 months. But when you, just in comparison, when we went to the moon in the late 1960s, early 1970s, that was a 3-day trip. So one of the challenges that we are facing right now is developing the proper life support systems to get astronauts to Mars safely and where they could be inside of a spaceship for 6 months and be okay. That's why NASA, if I don't know if you've been following it, but they've been sending people up in space and they've had them stay there for a year or longer. I know Scott Kelly just got back within the last year and a half or so, and he was the man that spent a year in space. But that's part of the plan, because now the missions are going to start to get longer in duration, preparing us to go to Mars, because we're going to be, you're going to be in a spaceship for 6 months, and then you're going to be on this new foreign and very hostile planet for probably a year or so, and then you're going to have to return back, which would be a 6 month journey as well. So, but I would really hope that they're not just going to park the astronauts there. I don't think my wife would appreciate that. She wouldn't let me go.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure that is not the case. I'm sure we're just going to put positive expectations that you'll be coming back and you'll be able to tell us like everything.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right.
Did you see the movie Mars? Of course you did, right? With Matt Damon.
Which movie? Oh, the Mars. Yes, I just saw it.
I've never seen it.
I recommend it. It is really, really good, and it will. It's so funny because when I watch those kind of movies with my wife, she's like, "Why would you want to do that?" And I'm like, "But babe, it's so awesome!" And the whole time I'm just like rattling off these space facts, or I'm talking about the inaccuracies in the movies, or I'm saying, oh yeah, that's actually real, or oh no, that's not true because blah 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 blah. So I'm a total
nerd. That's what I was wondering, like how realistic was it in your opinion?
For the most part, it was very well done, extremely accurate. They had consulted with NASA. The guy who wrote the book that the movie is based off of also did his research before writing the book. There is one kind of plot hole, but that it's totally fine. And just for entertainment's sake, it's very well done. And I absolutely love it.
I'm going to have to watch it so I can have a greater context of what it would be like. And when you go, because you're going to Mars, we're going to speak it to an existence. I'm going to be like, yeah, Aaron Shepherd was on the Dope Science Show back when he was visualizing and working towards this. It'll be awesome.
Oh, yeah,
How
definitely.
and why, I know this is a tangent and I don't, there's no wrong answer. You don't even have to answer. But I know quite a few people who say we never even made it to the moon. Like, and I don't know enough about space to be able to tell them with clarity, like, yes, we made it. Like, I'm like, I don't understand why people think we haven't made it to the moon. I've seen things where they're like, look, the flag is moving, and if it's moving, how could it be moving? Because it's in space, blah blah blah. What is something you would say if you were at a bar and someone said that to you, like, hey, how do you know we've even made it to the moon?
Well, from the argument of evidence, about I think around 2009-ish, we actually sent kind of an orbiter up. It was called the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, or the LRO. And that LRO actually took pictures of the Apollo sites. You could see the tracks from the rovers. You could actually see where the module was still there, because since there's no atmosphere or anything in the moon, or no wind, no atmosphere, whatever you do to it, it's going to stay like that for the rest of eternity. So yes, we have visual confirmation. Unfortunately, you can't, just due to sheer physics, you couldn't look at it with a telescope and actually see that. But the fact that we have this orbiter up there, and it's providing all this evidence. On top of that, just from a sheer technological standpoint, at the time, you couldn't fake the lunar landing. The technology to do that simply did not exist, or to do it as well as it would need to be done. On top of that, the Apollo missions employed about 400,000 people
Oh, wow.
during their time
That's
span.
a
So,
lot.
yes, so it'd be very hard to keep 400,000 people quiet.
Wow.
And just the experiences and the stories of the astronauts alone, these aren't actors that you're hiring. These are military pilots, so you just can't fake that.
And a
I don't know
conspiracy
if
can't
you're
be that big.
No, you can't, not that big, not that many people, not with that many people watching it, and not with, and it wasn't just us watching it. Keep in mind, the world was paying attention. Russia was paying attention. This is the middle of the Cold War. If we had faked it, Russia would have said it by now. They just said, oh, no, you guys are faking it.
Definitely. Definitely. So you hear that,
So.
people? All you anti, I don't know what your names are, but you say we haven't been to the moon, you're wrong.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because I actually, what was it? I was at a family event probably a year or so ago, and I had a cousin come up to me, and he just asked me, "How do I? What if I were to tell you that the International Space Station isn't up in space?" I said, "That is a lie because I can see it with a telescope. You can literally look at it flying overhead with a telescope.
Oh,
You can make
really?
out the." Yeah, you can make out the solar panels and everything on. You have to. There's a website that actually shows where the current position of the space station, but there's usually going to be a time where it's flying directly over your head.
Oh, in the show notes, you'll have to tell me so I can put what this website is called. So we'll put the competition, what that's called, and the name of this website that shows it. I recently saw something. I followed this astronaut on Instagram. I forget his name because I just started following him. But he's in space. He's on the International Spaceship. Or is it called Space Station? International Space Station, ISS.
Yes, it is.
And he made like a video. Like he took a video of his, kind of like a vlog, and he shared it, and it was just like so beautiful. It was so beautiful. I'll have to look that up so I can put that in the show notes too. Like people are actually like sharing. It's different than it was before. Like we have the technology now where an astronaut can like just share, digital video as he's doing it, I
Yes,
don't know. How does
actually,
that work? How are they sending us data from space here? How does that work? Satellite?
Yes, they're relaying it back via satellite.
That makes sense. I'm like, what? Okay, cool.
And actually, if you, I love doing this, but they'll oftentimes the astronauts will have to do what's called an EVA or an extra vehicular activity where they spacesuit up and go outside and they make repairs or upgrades to the space station because you constantly have to do maintenance on it. And so every time they do an EVA, they plan for it months or years in advance usually. And so NASA will always have, they'll have cameras ready. You'll see live feeds from the astronauts' helmets. So you'll see them drilling and wrenching things in as they're flying above us at 17,000 miles per hour. So it's crazy. It's so cool to sit there and just get that perspective. It's the next best thing to actually being there for those of us who are stuck on Earth, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to see that too. I'm gonna need that link too, because that sounds really awesome. I wonder, you would have to prepare mentally for so long for a trip like this, because it would be like surreal, like to be in space and looking back down at Earth and just feeling. I want I you know I'm
Yes.
like I'm just, I don't know how that would feel. Like, I guess it would feel
Oh.
normal, kinda,
Oh, so
go
actually,
ahead.
this is a really cool concept, and I'm glad you brought it up. I've been wanting to discuss this, but there is something, it's well documented. It's called the overview effect, and it's experienced by a lot of astronauts when they go up and they actually just see the planet Earth. When they look at it, it's kind of like their brain gets rewired, and all of a sudden they have this entire new perspective on the planet. It makes them feel, they feel that oneness of the planet Earth. They see that there are no borders. They see the diversity. They see the colors and the life and the vibrancy. And it just gives you, it kind of gives them a higher level of awareness. And it, actually, a lot of people don't know this, but the concept of Earth Day or like the EPA, so the Environmental Protection Agency, that can trace its origins back to space exploration because when we actually got up there and we saw our planet, we saw how precious and fragile it is, and that gave humanity a desire to protect it or to do things to stop climate change or to make sure that we're not harming the planet more than necessary as we're living, because we see Earth as this living speck in just a void of darkness. And it's really, really cool. I do, there is a 1 hour documentary on the overview effect, and I really, if you have the time, I recommend that you watch it just to see what these astronauts experience or how being in space kind of rewires us and makes us think on kind of a higher plane.
That's what we need. That's what we need so bad. That's what I was thinking when you were talking about it. I was like thinking, when you look at Earth and you're in space and you realize how rare life is in space, in as far as our perspective, as far as what we can actually observe with our current technology, and or oh, I know there's predictions, of course, so there's most likely there are other worlds, but just our ability to relate to another world or even like conceptualize it, it's a very rare thing. And like you said, it's like one blue dot and this void of darkness, and it's fragile, and people here are so focused on the small details in everyday life, like just so focused on things that don't matter in the long run. And I feel like us talking about space and science and anything that gets us out of that like day-to-day grinding details helps us, because we're able to think of humanity and the world on Earth as kind of like a whole, like you were saying, you know, like, yes, climate change is happening, and yes, it matters that this island over here is being submerged because we're doing this over here, you know, like it matters, and you can see the patterns, and it doesn't matter that corporations are trying to bury the facts about climate change so that they can, you know, make massive amounts of dollars that really don't matter in the grand scheme of like how the universe works. You know, I love being able to step outside of, that's what why I'm into science, and you know, and why your story inspires me is because it makes me feel hopeful that we can like pull ourselves up out of this, you know, small, like chaotic minded way of living. You know?
Yes, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm so vocal about my aspirations, and I'm really trying to share my story and share this passion, is because I want to help advance humanity. I want to
Yeah.
be up there with kind of the Thomas Edisons and the Elon Musks and the Henry Fords and the engineering world, as far as you're not just studying math or science, you're not just making this technology, you're making this technology to advance humanity and advance our progress and improve how we live our lives and how we think about living our lives. And that's part of the reason why I am so passionate about my soon-to-be profession, because I'm still studying, so I t can't technically say I'm an engineer yet. But you're literally designing a better world or a better tomorrow, and it's something to keep. It keeps you hopeful, and it keeps you motivated as you're doing the calculus and the circuits and the electromagnetics at 3 a.m. in the morning, and you haven't been asleep in 4 days. But you're doing it for kind of a better cause.
Yeah, you're doing it for us, man. You're doing it for all of us, and I'm really grateful that you are expressing that because I would not have had your story to share. I, you know, it matters, and I appreciate you, and you know, I'm really excited, and it made me think for a second while you were talking about being an engineer and you're doing it to better humanity. It made me think, I know you can't really separate how technology shapes society and how society is shaping technology because it's, you know, they're not separate. But actual, yeah, they're not separate. But what I'm thinking is, if you have good intentions, this is just like a philosophical thought. If you have good intentions and you create technology with those intentions, you know, can we fix, you know, what is wrong with society? Can we actually, you know, encourage society to be better through technology? Or do you think it's just too, you know, too mixed, like too integrated. Like we influence on technology and technology influences us. And like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that you're so a law, one of kind of the biggest laws of physics, it's summed up in the second law of thermodynamics, is there is no such thing as 100% efficiency, and that's just the reality of the universe. And so you will not fix every single problem of the universe with advancing technology or in advancing it with good intentions, but you still push and you do that anyways, so that way you're fixing one more thing, and you're just making society and humanity slightly better. So I, by nature, am very optimistic, and so I would like to think that yes, this work that we do when we advance technology and we do it with good intentions, and we state that we're doing it with good intentions, Yes, I do think that you're pushing society towards a better place. It's not going to be perfect. Perfection doesn't exist in this universe, unfortunately, but it can be as good as possible, and that's why you do it, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that too. I mean, what a choice do we have? You know, that's why I'm an optimist. I'm like, hey, I mean, what will I be a pessimist? No, I feel like you said, there's no 100% answer. It's, you know, but you do it anyway. You just do it anyway. That's what you do, you know? And
right.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was about to say, if you didn't, at least in my opinion, what's the point of being alive if you don't try?
Right. Me too. That's what I say too. And I'm horrible because someone will say, man, this is so bad. This is so bad. It, like, I should just give up. And in my head, I'm like, but are you ready to die? I mean, like, what do you mean by give up? Give up means,
right,
like, give up. Otherwise, like, what are you doing? Like, maybe you kill time, but you don't give up, you know? Not if you're
right.
Still living. You're still, you know, I don't think you even have a choice. You still have to keep pursuing whatever you've set forth for yourself. And
yes, definitely.
Some great minds have big goals, and I just want to have more goals and minds and conversations, you know, with people like yourself and, you know, your peers. That sounds really like a great community that you're part of. So thank you for sharing it with us. Now we're all like a little bit more a part of it. Yay. We're all dope scientists.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, science was cool growing up. So you gotta, when we were kids, science was so cool. So as an adult, you gotta make it even cooler. Otherwise,
yeah.
How else are you going to get more kids to study science?
Definitely, definitely. And it's cool right now, and I want to keep it cool as long as it can be. It's going to be cool forever for me now. I'm late to the science game. But it's my passion. These conversations are like my immediate, they're my obsession right now. It drives me. And and I'm just glad that I can share what I find out and explore about science, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's what you should do. It's the whole point of science. It's discovering why the world works the way it does and sharing it with the community.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great way to think of it. Definitely. So as you may or may not know, all my guests do the intro for the next show. So the way you would do that is you would say your name or however you want to be referred to, and you'll say you're on the Dope Science Show, and then you can ad lib. So, for example, I would say, hey, my name's Steph. I'm, you know, a podcaster. Science Steph with Steph is my name, and I'm on the Dope Science Show, and I'm super excited about life or whatever you want to say.
Okay.
So you can take as many takes as you need.
Okay. All right. Yeah, all right. Give me a second. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No
okay,
worries.
Okay. All right. So just do you say action or how does this
Oh,
work?
Yeah. You just start whenever you want to. Yeah. No worries. I'll say action. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to do action, okay? 1, 2, 3, go.
Hey, everybody. My name is Aaron Shepherd. On Earth, I am an electrical engineering student who is passionate about space technology and robotics. But I have a dream that is truly out of this world. I want to be the first African-American astronaut to walk on Mars. Right now, I'm on the Dope Science Show, and I am excited to one day get up in space. Like that? Yeah?
Yeah, that's perfect. That was perfect. Yes. That was great. That was great. And how can the audience follow you? Do you tell us all your social media hangers, or I don't know what they're called, but yes.
Oh, like all here. My handles? So Twitter and Instagram are both at Space Cadet Shep. And I guess I need to make a Facebook page too. And also that Space Cadet Shep is my handle on Reddit and Xbox Live. So it's pretty much my general alias.
So we can find you anywhere. We could probably just Google you, Space Cadet Shepherd?
Shep.
Shep. Space
yeah,
Cadet no. Shep. Don't listen
yeah,
to
all
me,
of
guys.
My, all of my, all my roommates in college, they would be like, hey, Shep, 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 Shep. And so it just kind of stuck.
That's a cool name. I like it. And you are also in charge of the soundtrack for the show. So you have to give me three songs off the top of your head that you want to be on your show.
Okay. Okay. Can they be instrumentals?
Yes.
All right. So give me, are you a J. Cole fan by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember Too Deep for the Intro? It's off the warm-up.
Nope, but I can go ahead and add that.
yeah, just that instrumental. Let's see. Because I'm trying to think, okay, I need, wow, this is tough.
I know. It's the hardest part of the show.
How about I give you kind of a style that I want?
Nope, it has to be a song.
Huh?
It has to be a track. It has to be a track. Because it has to be your selection. Yep.
Okay.
You can Google it.
Okay. Let me see. What other songs do I want that are definitely appropriate?
It could be an old song. It could be your favorite song.
I know. Somebody just asked me this question on Reddit. Let's do a spacey song. So, you remember that song? So now I'm back from outer space. That one.
That's fine, because I'm going to Google it. I'm bad at that. I'm horrible. This is the hardest thing I ask anyone, and don't ask me.
Okay, I will survive
so
by
you've got
Gloria
two.
Gaynor.
Okay, so now you've got three, right?
No, I will survive by Gloria Gaynor. That's the name of that song. So now I'm back from my face. That one.
Oh, yes. Okay, is that two then?
That is two, and then you know what? Why not? I'm a 90s kid. Let's do Space Jam.
Oh yeah, Space Jam. Shaq song. Space Jam.
Yeah, it's like that intro song.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Sounds really good. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. This was really fun. I hope you had a good time.
Oh, yeah, I had a great time. Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Yeah, you did great. You did really great. I will put this out probably, I don't know when, because it takes me a while to edit and get things out, but I'm excited for you. I really hope you win or make it to the next step as a finalist. I'm rooting for you. I paid for a promo on my Facebook to show your video. I hope my little contribution brought more views for your video and that you make it. I'm rooting for you.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. It's really good to meet people and just talk and share ideas, and it's really fun. It's good. It gives me hope.
Very cool. Well, I will talk to you soon, and I will be sending you positive energy.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me on the show. I really cannot express enough gratitude. It's just really, really good that you would let me speak, because I am still a nobody.
Well, likewise, I'm really rooting for you, and I'm glad that I even have something that I can like share and create a platform that inspire that empowers you and makes you feel like, hey, I've got support, you know? And you do. And once this goes out, it'll be out there in the universe forever. So then we'll all
Oh.
every time someone listens to it, they'll root for you. Just remember that.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Wow, that was a great episode, you guys. All about space. Aaron's enthusiasm and excitement is so contagious. Since this episode, he, even though he did not win the astronaut contest, he has been reaching out online, and he's appeared on several other podcasts to talk about his passion for space and science. And he's taken a big step towards being a science advocate. And he's been on the show. You might want to check it out. It's pretty awesome on YouTube, called 1% Engineer. And most recently, he was on a show called STEM Dialogue with Ricky Venters, PE, and Ian Ferguson. You guys want to check that podcast out too. Aaron's a superstar. And I also wanted to mention how you can help people in Houston who need food and whatever you can share. There's a hashtag called I Cleaned Out My Closet for Houston that you can follow and find out where you can send clothing that you would like to donate for people who need clothing. You can also find local charities who are well established as far as already giving to people in need. You can look at them online or reach out to your church, but I would not donate to the Red Cross. I hate to be political, but life is political. I would not donate to the Red Cross. So I'm sure you guys can find other alternative options for donating. And I appreciate you guys, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong.